Welcome to the Atlanta Dream Center podcast. Here you can listen to our recent sermons. Our hope is that today you are transformed by Jesus and you grow in your walk with Christ. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website, atlantadreamcenter.com. Grab a pen, put in your headphones, and let's dig into the Word.
All right. As I said earlier, this is our last Wednesday night for the season. Next week is the day before Thanksgiving. No one will be here. And then it's literally the holidays. And then we won't start back up until March. We're going to take the whole winter off. Don't give me that. Hey, Tomlin family. What's up, guys? It's recorded. All right. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. That's good. That's great. It was fantastic. How many of you guys enjoyed Leah's testimony? Was that great? Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, sweet. She told me, she said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. She said, I've cried. You know, she's pregnant. She said, I've cried in every testimony so far. I'm afraid I'm going to cry. She didn't. She did great. Well, hey, listen, though, we're going to stop Wednesdays. And tonight, almost on accident, I'm glad it happened the way it did. We're going to be talking about what you need to be doing in between time. In the meantime, you work your thing, I'll work mine. Does anyone know that song? Yeah, okay, that's a bad song. So I want you to go to Matthew 18. We're going to go through the New Testament. All these scriptures are not going to be on the screen. Probably none of these scriptures are going to be on the screen. I want to just nail out one very important thing that you need to hang on to. It is a call that is countercultural to your life. All right, I'm just going to say that right now. I'm not talking countercultural to everybody in the flesh. I'm talking about countercultural to us as Americans. What I'm going to be preaching on tonight is about community. And I'm just going to read a lot of scriptures to you. I'm going to read one verse from the New Testament all the way through, one verse from each book. Some of these scriptures, and some of the gospels I'm going to just pass over because they say the same thing. But I want to read to you from the Bible. Now, how many guys in here want to follow the ways of God? Anyone in here want to follow the ways of God? Okay, good. Okay, not great, actually. Not impressive at all. That should have been way more hands. I want to follow the ways of Christ. And I've talked about this a lot. We've talked about the financial disparity when it comes to community. And that when you get money, and if you can look around the world, you can see rich people, what they do. And when I say rich people, I'm not talking about rich to you. I'm talking about rich in comparison to the world, as in you have wants, not needs. That means you're rich. If you have wants and not needs, that means you are wealthy in this world. And what we look at when we see the wealthy, and you can see this in your own life, the more money you have, the more isolation you purchase. Whether that's a bigger yard, a bigger fence, a more private house, that's what you do with money is you buy isolation. And as a country, we are a very rich nation. And one of the very nice things about being rich is you could buy your privacy. And how many of you guys are introverts in here? Any introverts in here? Yeah, you know what that means? That means you're meant to be rich. That's what that means. You should tell God, God, you made me this way. Make me rich, you know? I want to be rich. Now listen, how many of you guys are extroverts in this house? Where are my extroverts at? And the rest of y'all are just nothing, huh? Okay. I see how this is going to work tonight. All right. I got it. Yeah, listen. A lot of people struggle with what I'm about to read, but I'm just going to read a bunch of scriptures to you. Because I could sit here for 30 minutes and preach on this, or I could just show you in the Word the importance of gathering together. And I'm not talking about, Sundays and Wednesdays are real gatherings. I encourage Sundays and Wednesdays. If you don't have a Sunday or Wednesday, those online, I encourage you to get together. But I know this to be true, that most of church has been deduced down to two things, music and teachers. And that's the majority of what church is. And most of us pick our church based on those two things. The music was good, the pastor spoke well. And that's what church has become. And this is what we do. We fly banners. We go, yeah, but I like this church and I like this church. Absolutely ignoring what the scripture calls the church itself. Absolutely ignoring what the scripture says, what we're going to read about the importance of the gathering. And just if you don't know this, church just simply means a gathering of people for a purpose. This is church in this room. I want you to look around real quick. Look around at everybody really quick. This is the church. Now, you might be here tonight because you wanted to hear a testimony. You might be here tonight because you wanted to hear preaching and teaching. But that's not why we gather. Teaching's important. I love it. Testimonies are important, but we gather to meet with one another. Now, I'm going to read starting from Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. I'm going to give you a second to flip there. I'm just going to read verse by verse in every book of the New Testament. I'm not going to hit every scripture. I'm just going to hit every one verse in each one. 18, verse 20. Jesus says, "For a two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say the same things. I want you to go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14. "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst." Notice it doesn't say, "When you're alone, I'm in your midst." He says, "When you gather together, I am there." Hang on, I got to get to Acts 2. Give me 1 second. Acts chapter 1. I got two in here that I'm going to read just real quickly. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says this, after Christ had resurrected and ascended into heaven, it says that in verse 14, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with the mother of Jesus and several other women and brothers of Jesus. Go to the next page, chapter 2, verse 44. Says this, and all the believers met in one place after they heard the gospel and were baptized. It says all the believers gathered together in one place sharing. I'm sorry, actually verse 42, let me go backwards. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. This is what church was. Getting the teaching, getting and sharing meals together, fellowship, and prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the people met together in one place and shared everything they had. Verse 45, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their, check this word out, fellowship, those who were being saved. I want you to go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. What I just read in the book of Acts was the response as believers. As they came to the Lord, they started gathering together. They had great love for one another, even taking care of one another, selling their goods for one another. Check this out, verse 5 of chapter 15. May God, who gives this patient encouragement, help you live, check this out, in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. This is for the follower. This is what's fitting for you, that you walk in harmony with one another. The next verse. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, that God will be given glory. Let's go to the next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, the entire book I could go over. He's talking to them, giving instruction to the church about what they're currently doing, which is not just sitting together and hearing a sermon. It's not just singing songs. He's actually saying, when you guys come together, verse 33, of chapter 11. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, when, not if, when you gather together for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. In other words, you should be doing this, and when you do it, be considering of the other people in the room. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 11. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony, that means with one another, and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Do you want to read on? Greet each other with a sacred kiss. I don't know if you want to kiss one another, but you're welcome to. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Oh, I'm missing a page in my Bible. Really, look at this. It's Galatians chapter 5 and it ends. All right, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Let's see if I have it written down. Bear one another's burdens, which means that in order to carry one another's burdens, you have to know what the other person's carrying. It says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:16. Flip there, next book. Ephesians 4:15. I'm going to start there. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. If that doesn't make sense to you, he's saying that you and I are not separate pieces to live independently. He's saying as believers, as you and I, we're supposed to be working with one another in harmony as a body. This is what Christianity is, that we would be together as a body fitted together. No isolation. No, I have my life, you have your life. Let's go to the next scripture, Philippians chapter 1. We're going to go down to verse 27. I'm really bothered that I'm missing a chapter in my book. Above all, I'm sorry, I mocked you. Thank you, Emily and Ash, that was very considerate. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. Check out what this sounds like to be a citizen of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. I don't think you read that. There's nothing in this Christianity that seems to be that you will fight individually. It says, no, together you do this. I want to go to the next Bible, or Bible book, next book, Colossians. Colossians 3:16. Hang in there. Check this out, verse 16. Well, let's actually go to 14 real quick. I was going to 14 and 16. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all of its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other. I want to say that again. It doesn't say go find teaching and counsel from somebody else. It says from you, one another. Teach and counsel one another. And each other with all the wisdom he gives, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, this is all talking about doing it together, do it as representation of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through whom to God the Father. Let's go to the next one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 11, let's go to verse 10, my bad, verse 10. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. See the word we. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. Let's go to the next one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Is that right? Yes. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let's clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus and how we will be gathered together to meet him. I love that scripture because this one right here is saying, I want you to remember something. There's going to be a gathering in the end where he's pulling us together. So don't let that be the first time. This is going to be us coming together. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. We're almost through this. 1 First Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 13. Until I get there, this is to his buddy Timothy, focus on reading the scriptures to the church. Encourage the believers. This is for you. Teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. He says to Timothy, you should be gathering together with your spiritual gift, encouraging the church. This is to you as well. Let's go to the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Check this out. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Enjoy companionship with the other believers. Let's keep going. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. Our people, talking about us as believers, must learn to do good, check this out, by meeting the urgent needs of others. And they will not be unproductive. I want to continue. Philemon, chapter 1, verse 2. Writing to the book. Hey, listen to this. Check this out. To our sister Apphia and to our fellow soldier Archippus and to the church that meets in your house. Not the temple, not the synagogue, in your home. Let's keep going. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. There's a bunch in Hebrews we could get to some other time. But right now we're going to go to 10. I want to go down to verse 25. Actually, we're going to go to verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Get together. James chapter 5. Just going through every letter, every gospel, everything we can pull out in the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 14. Let's go to 12. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything, just a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin or be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. You know why I pulled that one out? Because what's the number one thing we want to do when we're sick? Oh, we don't want to go to the church. We don't want to go to the elders. Let me stay home today. Let's go continue. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. I'm going to actually go back to verse 4. You are coming to Christ, who is a living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones, us together, that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You are not a temple. I'm sorry, you're not just a stone on its own. You are together the temple of God. He says, this is what you are, the one who brings in the cornerstone of Christ. I want you to go now to 2 Peter chapter 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Check this out. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us by himself by means of marvelous glory and excellence. I don't know why I have that circled. Why was that the big one for me? Why was that like the one I thought was going to blow you away? Well, let me actually, I don't know what I was pulling from that, except that he's writing to the church who is gathered together. I must have had a misprint, but you know in 1 Peter he's going to talk about gathering, okay? My bad. I'm going to go to 1 John 1:7. But if we are living in the light, verse 7, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is what it looks like for us to be living in the light. We have fellowship with one another. 2 John chapter 1. Verse 12. This is John speaking to them through a letter. And he's describing something that is an attribute of one who believes in Christ. I have much more to say, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink. I don't want to do it through text message and phone call. I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face. Then our joy will be complete. I want to go to 3 John. Verse 8. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. I'm talking about these teachers who are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we could be their partners as they teach the truth. Talking about ministers going around. He says, this is what we should be doing as believers. Not thinking that it's cool what they're doing. He says, no. We should be together supporting them. I want to go to Jude chapter 1. This one right here, Jude, is just a chapter. There's a lot here, but we're just going to get one. Verse 20. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. Let me read that one more time, because I think a lot of us don't know this. He says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. This is how you stay safe in God. Building one another up. Revelation chapter 7. This one is more of a fun one, though there's plenty in here. As he talks to the churches who are gathering together. Verse 9 of chapter 7. John having great revelation, looking, hearing the numbers of all the different tribes being called out, 144,000. He says, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They're clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. I read you a verse from every writer of the New Testament. Every writer of the New Testament emphasized in every single book two things. One I didn't read, which is suffering is going to happen. That's number one. You can find that in every book of the New Testament, that suffering will happen. The other thing you'll find in the New Testament of every book is that your duty as a Christian isn't just having a personal relationship isolated by yourself. Your duty as a Christian is to gather together on a normal basis. In fact, scriptures even point out that you are not a real solid believer if you're avoiding the fellowship. And this is what it means by fellowship. I want to make this really clear. You do not have fellowship because you sit in the same church. You have fellowship because you break bread with one another. This is what the scriptures teaches us as believers. And you and I kind of bought into this idea that we pick churches based off teachers. We pick places based on like our friend group. We say what our interest in. That is not church. Church is the common believer who says, I am serving the same master as you're serving. And scripture says, if that's the case, encourage one another on a normal basis. If that's the case, you should not be looking at me. You should be looking at one another saying, how can I teach them these things in the scriptures? How can I edify them? I can't make a more clear argument to you that your responsibility as a believer is to be with one another. In fact, Revelation chapter 7 says the great gathering is us together, not as individuals standing separate from everybody else, but us in unity before the Father. This is your call, that you would love one another deeply, that you would open up your home. And we're going to, you know, when we're done for Wednesday nights, I'm really going to be pushing groups in January. And this is why I'm pushing groups, just to let you know, because I got convicted that I've allowed our church to be Sunday morning, Wednesday night people, yet not know somebody in the congregation. I've been bothered that I'm the Christian guy for you, but you don't know the Christian guy next to you. And I look at this and go, the evidence of the church, Jesus says it this way, which I didn't read in the Gospels, that you could go read it. The evidence that you're my disciple is not how well you could speak and sing a song. It is not on how well you know the scriptures. The evidence that you're my disciple is that you love one another. That's how you know someone's a follower of Christ. And I think a lot of us have traded that off because we decided that's just not really my, you know, I'm tired. A lot of us have prioritized work over the prioritization of the gathering of the church. Some of us have prioritized literally everything else except the one thing that you'll find in every New Testament book. Get together. And we're not talking about sit in the same room. You could do that at the DMV. Can I say that again? Sitting in the same room is not fellowship. You do that at the DMV or the DTS or whatever you call it. You do that when you go on a roller coaster. That is not fellowship. If you're not opening up your home, then you probably don't have fellowship. And so I got to encourage you, brothers and sisters. We're closing on Wednesday nights for a season. You should have zero reason not to be meeting on Wednesday nights, because now it's open and you've already committed to it now. You might as well say, you know what? Let me open up my home to people. Let me break bread with people. Let me eat with somebody. I love this, by the way. They ate food together and they used it as their last supper, as the Lord. That means that every time they got together, they broke the bread together. They said, this is the Lord. Let's remember this for a moment. They didn't get together to watch a football game. They got together to say, let's remember what God has done for us. This is the evidence of believers. I got to get together. I can't be at home alone. I'm sick. I need to go find the elders in the church that they might lay hands on me. I got to be with the believer. Oh, but Tommy, I got too much on my plate. But Pastor Tommy, I got too many things. My work schedule is busy. I got a lot happening. Listen, I preached another sermon. I'm just going to let you know right now. You can do it. You absolutely can do it. You can open up your home. And I'm not talking about evangelism. I want to pause for a second. Some of us want to do all evangelism, no fellowship. You can't survive that way. You need fellowship. You need to be people who are gathering together with other believers. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a sacrifice that you will make for one another. I live in Conyers, okay? And that sucks for me to invite you over to my house, because I've invited people to my house, and guess what? It's an hour. I got 7 kids. And that could really suck when you invite me to your house. Because I'm thinking, I got to bring 7 kids to your home and make sure they don't break anything. Because you don't have kids and you don't know what it's like to baby-proof your home. And I got to do that. But that is the call of Christianity. And let's be honest. How many of you guys have gathered together with other believers and you leave going, I'm encouraged, I'm edified, I want to get more into the Word, I need this in my life? I'm going to tell you, if the church would take on the call, I have a feeling, and call me crazy, say, Tommy, you're kooky for this. I don't think depression has a place in the church if the church would take on the commandment of gathering together. I think depression and anxiety would start falling at the altar if we were people who just said, I'm going to start hanging out with other people. And I'm going to give up my time. I'm not going to let my finances dictate how isolated I could be. In fact, like it says in Timothy, I'm going to use my finances to do good. Some of us are using our finances for our own self-privacy, get a nice little home. You know what I noticed about, I got to end, my bad. But this is what I saw in the world. When we first move out here, I'm the only white kid in the neighborhood. And I got picked on a good bit for that. I get picked up in police cars. I get all this stuff all the time. Stuff would happen. But because it was a low-income area, you know what I saw? Everybody knew everybody. There was never a time where if there was a need, it wasn't being met. This wasn't the church. These were heathens. These were people who were bad people in the sense they were doing sinful things. I got a lot of love for these guys. I still talk to many of them. They're still doing terrible things. But I grew up with these guys in a low-income area. I remember a guy broke into my car, stole a bunch of cash, and went and bought drugs. A drug dealer down the street was the first one to tell me what happened. Now I get my car broken into my nice little suburban neighborhood. Nobody wants to tell me nothing. I didn't see it. I don't know what's going on. They don't help me with my window. In the low-income neighborhood, Tommy, I don't have any money, but I'm going to find some for you. I'm like, no, don't go sell drugs to help me with my window. That's fine. I'll get my window fixed on my own. But that's the world. I look at the church and people show up to church every week. They show up to church. And this is the only thing I usually hear about church. I got church or people didn't treat me nice or whatever it might be. And I always think, man, you must have had a pretty small circle. You're talking, you go to a church with 1,000 people and you left and you didn't know anybody and nobody knew you. You left your church and you didn't know who you were sent by. You only knew who the pastor was. You didn't even know who he was. You only heard him speak, and you didn't know the person sitting next to you. I don't know. That doesn't sound like Christianity to me. That sounds like TED Talks on steroids. That's what it sounds like to me. With cheap cover bands. That's what worship is, by the way. It's a cover band. You think about that for a second. No, Evie's the best one at it. I'm not, no diss. I'm just saying in church. Yeah, that is a clap for Evie. I'm just saying in church, we're getting together, and it's a TED Talk, and you get up and you leave, and what is the church? That's not what I'm reading. What I'm reading is, now the believers got together, they would do whatever it takes for one another. I mean, the believer was selling what they had, saying, man, I see needs with my brothers and my sisters. I've said this before, but so many people don't have a church. They just have a place they go to listen to some guy talk. But they could have a church. All they have to do is open up their home and invite people in, other believers. And you know what happens when you do this, when you actually follow the word of God? The book of Romans, the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, starts applying to your life. Because it's instructions to the church, to the gatherers, the ones who get together on a normal basis to encourage one another. That's what these scriptures are for. Not for Atlanta Dream Center or Mount Perrin or Blueprint. No, it's for the gatherers. So you should be able to read this. And we've been reading about the fruits of the Spirit on Sundays and or the gifts of the Spirit on Sundays. That's not a Sunday morning exclusive thing. That's supposed to be happening in your homes. Oh, come over, my believers. I want to pray with you. Come over, my believers. I want to eat with you. Come on, let's just sit. We can laugh. But at the end of it, I'm going to pray and remember what God's done. This is the call of the Christian. I'm ending. I'm done. I just want to push this on you. You have no excuse. Everything in the scripture points to this. And it's not just evangelism. We'll make this clear. Some of us will trade fellowship for evangelism to pat ourselves on the back. The church is called to fellowship. To know one another. To know Jack, that's Jack right there. You didn't know that, did you? To know Omid, that's what we're here for. You should never be in a church that you don't know the person next to you. That's the church. So as we close Wednesday nights for the season, I'm going to put it on you. And I'm going to be looking at every one of you, even if you don't attend our church anymore, Tumlin family. I'm going to be looking at you. I'm going to be saying, is your door open? Is your door open? I don't care if you volunteer on Sunday as a greeter. I love that. That's great. There's a great thing in that. But is your door open? Are you bringing people in? Are you breaking bread? Are you praying with one another? Are you giving up your free time? I know you're rich. I know you spend a lot of time trying to buy that privacy, but I'm asking you, are you a believer who loves the other person? That's what I'm going to be looking for. That's what you should be looking for. You should be asking me, Tommy, do you just preach or do you open your house? Because I don't know about you, but I'm done with the church. That's a bunch of speakers and a bunch of teaching. I want to see a church where it's a bunch of believers together walking in the power of God, where two or three of you gather together. I am there. So, Father, I pray that, God, there would be no more argument within our hearts about I don't have time, I don't have enough energy, I don't have whatever to open up the door. I pray, Father, that the believers in this room would feel the call and conviction, but more than that, the love for your sons and daughters. A love for their brothers and sisters that's so deep that all that they love about themselves, how much they love themselves, how much they love their time at their home, they would reflect back on the people around them and say, I love you just as much. I want you in the home that I've built out of my own joy because I love you as I love myself. That, Father, bring people into their homes to break bread. And Father, I'm not even talking about having a routine. I'm just talking about making it something more than once every 2 months, 3 months. I'm talking about, God, being a people who get together on a normal basis like they did, Father, daily. Like Jesus, we'd start looking at this going, wait a minute. I'm not a part of a church if I don't have it in my house, if I don't have it in someone else's house, if I'm not meeting with these brothers and sisters of mine and loving them dearly, meeting their needs, encouraging them, edifying them, singing songs with them, coming together in prayer that we might be in the safety of the Lord. So God, I pray over us, conviction in our heart. Let the word of God do its work in us. May we be people who gather so that in that last day, Revelation chapter 7, when we're up in heaven, we don't feel like a stranger in a crowd, standing amongst all the believers, but rather, Father, we feel like children at home, comforted knowing that these are the people I gathered with while I was alive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.